Hey, this is Jackson Fong, Student Ministries Pastor of Community Church of Susanville, and you're listening to our audio devotional for Student Ministries. This is the second in a series called The Me I Want to Be. The series is based on a book called by John Ortberg of the same name. But for us, again, what we're doing is we're focusing on a concept that's being brought up in Scripture. And then we're going to look at the Scripture dealing with it, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means for us. So, again, why don't we pray, and we'll go from there. Dear God, thanks for the opportunity to kind of look into Your Word together. And, again, as we take some time to look at who You want us to be, God, speak to us. Give us encouragement where we need encouragement. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. And help us to hear from You. Help us to lay aside any distraction or obstacle that might get in the way of us hearing from You. So we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at the me I think I should be. And the truth is, in life, I don't know about you, but in life, most of us, and for myself especially, we think we're supposed to be something specific. And so we push for that, and we try to be that. And for me, working with students, for me being a student ministry's pastor, there are all sorts of things I think I should be, and how I should be, and what I should do, and trying to fit that. Growing up in high school, and junior high school, and college, there are certain things that, when I looked at other people, I thought I needed to be just like. I had a lot of friends that were really into sports, and I thought, you know, well, maybe I need to be into sports. I knew a lot of people in music and art and drama, and so I thought, well, maybe I need to pick up some of these habits and some of these practices that these guys have too, because, you know, they're my friends and they're really good at this stuff, so I need to do that too. And the truth is, so often in life, what we do is we end up trying to be someone we're not meant to be because we're too busy focusing on other people instead of focusing on what God says about us and who we are and what we're supposed to be and who we're supposed to be. And so in looking at that, those are the real life struggles that we face. The temptation is so much to look at other people and to focus on what other people say and what other people do. And sometimes that's really frustrating because God never intended us to be somebody else. He created us to be the person we are. And when we look in Scripture, we see there are a lot of people that struggle with that. They compare themselves to others and they feel like they're lacking. They feel like they're missing something. Sometimes people feel less than and unworthy. And today we're going to look at this character of Gideon. And Gideon, he's someone that feels unworthy. We're going to look today at Judges chapter 6. And let me give you some background as we go through this to really focus on Gideon himself. And Judges chapter 6 is a pretty long chapter, so we're not going to look at the entire thing, but if you're able to, feel free to flip open to Judges chapter 6 as I walk you through this. In Judges chapter 6, it opens up with the Israelites doing all sorts of things that were not right. And so God allowed the Midianites to take over Israel for 7 years. And in this time of difficulty for the Israelites, the Israelites had totally been blowing God off. And so God allows these Midianites to take over. Kind of like, well, if you really want to do that, then, you know, fine, I'll let you do that. Unfortunately, the Midianites were some of the cruelest people ever during this time frame. And they were so intense and hurting the Israelites. The Israelites made hiding places. Verse 2, it says, the Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. And they left the Israelites with nothing to eat. And basically they'd take all their livestock, and the Israelites had just a horrible, difficult time, to the point of where they were starving. As the Midianites were really being rough on the Israelites, the Israelites realized that they probably shouldn't abandon God. They probably shouldn't have threw God to the wayside. So they cried out to God for help. And so God sends this prophet to tell them that the relief is coming, and just kind of, in a way, lets them hang. The cool thing is that even though the Israelites might have felt that they were being left hanging, God was in the process of developing someone to relieve them from this difficulty. And so God sends an angel. And in verse 11, this is how it starts. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to the Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you." He answered, "I will stay here until you return." Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat, and with a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then, carrying the meat in a basket and in the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to an angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, "Place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it." And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of his staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. You know, when you hear this, I mean, at least when I hear this story about Gideon is someone in future history, I guess as time goes on, if you know the whole story, you know that Gideon led Israel to defeating thousands of people. And in one instance, he overtook thousands of people using only 300 of his own troops. And Gideon is known as being a great leader. But at this time of the story, he doesn't see that. As far as Gideon is concerned, what does he say? Again, verse 15, "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." You know, a lot of times we don't feel worthy. We don't feel adequate. We don't feel capable. But the truth is that God has some incredible things for us. And in his word here, he tells us that he is enough. So don't feel like you have to be somebody you're not. Don't try to be someone you're not. It's all right. God loves you the way you are. He created you to be amazing. You know, if you want to know more about people that struggled with that, you can read about Moses in Exodus chapter 4. You can read about the struggles Martha had with her sister in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Know that you have been created amazing, and God sees you totally worthwhile and totally worthy. Accept it and know it's good. God bless you, Todd.